Grace to you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for our meditation this Epiphany Sunday is written in the book of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, the second chapter, the second verse. Behold, wise men came from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." This is our text. Wise men from the east. More questions in that short sentence than we could probably handle for an hour this morning. Wise men from the east. But what they did was they saw a star in the sky. Must have been a unique star, an extraordinary star. A very compelling star, for it moved them to leave their homeland and to search for something they didn't have. Scripture indicates that they may have been on this journey and following this star for almost 2 years. They were convinced that this unique star was leading them to the new star of Jacob that had come to the Israelites. They were sure that when they got to the end of their journey, they would find this new King of the Jews. And they were pretty sure he would be found in Jerusalem. So when they finally arrived in Jerusalem, they were wandering around the city asking everybody, "Where is this newborn King of the Jews? We saw a star rising in the east, and we've come to worship him." That's the question before us this morning. Have you seen the star? When the wise men first saw the star, they rejoiced. They were filled with great joy over the sight they had seen. But have you seen the star? We might ask this morning, what star are we looking for? First, it's a star of promise. When Adam and Eve, all the way back in the Garden of Eden, first fell into sin, the first thing that God did was promise them that he would send someone who would fix all that they had just broken. Someone who would come and redeem them. Someone who would bring them back into God's grace and love. He also told them that this coming promised one would crush Satan's head. And in his fight with sin and Satan, he would conquer sin and death. He would overcome death and the grave for all people. And he promised them that this coming one would bring peace to the hearts of his faithful people. He would fill their life with hope, and he would bring salvation for all people. Throughout the centuries, God would continue to remind his faithful people of this coming promise. He is coming, and he will do great things for you, and he will restore you to the family of God again. Second, he is the star of love. This coming Savior would remind all of God's people of the depth of love that he had for them while they were yet sinners. And while they were yet sinners, they believed that because of the promise of this coming Savior, that they would have the love of God forever in their hearts. And by that love, they had the sure and certain hope of redemption. It was in that deep love for them that moved God to give them his very best. He sent one day the gift of his one and only Son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whoever who believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Epiphany, just like Christmas, is for God's people good news of great joy for all people. In that child of Bethlehem, we see the love that God has for us, even while we were yet sinners. Third, he is the star of peace. When Adam and Eve disobeyed and fell into sin and brought sin into this world, peace was lost. And to fill that void of there was now enmity. And that enmity filled every aspect of our lives. And the Christmas angel announced, Christ, the Savior, is born. He didn't say, a Savior is born. He said, Christ, the Savior, is born, the one and only Savior of all people. He has come into your world to free you from sin and death. He has come to end the warfare that has been caused by sin. He has come to reestablish peace between God and all people. He has come to reconcile the world unto God. That was not going to be an easy task. The law had been broken. All the requirements that God had laid down for people have been broken. So the first thing this coming Savior had to do was keep the law of God perfectly. But he needed to do even more than that. Sin had been committed. And that sin had to be paid for. The holiness and the righteousness of God had to be satisfied. And God would punish the sins of the world through the innocent suffering and death of his only beloved Son. The wages of sin is death, and his Son would die that death of a sinner on his cross. And after he was laid in the grave, his heavenly Father for 3 days would examine every aspect of his Son's life, every thought, desire, word, and deed, to see if it measured up to the perfection that the law required. And when it was determined that the Son's life had been absolutely perfect, God raised him from the dead. Now, by his life and death and that glorious resurrection, God has brought an end to the enmity and has given us peace through the forgiveness of all of our sins. Fourthly, he is the star of hope. Now, this hope that he has come to bring us is not wish fulfillment. His is a sure and certain hope. First is a hope, it is a hope for this life. Now we know that because of faith, God works all things together for good for those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. And through faith, we also know that since God has already given us his Son, we also know and believe that he will give us all other blessings that we need in and through Christ Jesus. Jesus is also our hope for eternal life. We live with that promise. Because he lives, we will live also. That's what moves St. Paul to brag. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? Thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. With Jesus as our Savior and our Good Shepherd, we will one day walk through the valley of the shadow of death and into his kingdom of everlasting life. 50 is also the star of comfort. He heals us from all of our sins. John writes in his first letter, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Cleanses us. Washes that guilt of sin, all of it, away from us. Clothes us in the righteousness of Christ. Assures us of the complete forgiveness of all of our sins. That handwriting that was on the wall that was against us has been washed away. The blood of the Lamb of God shed on the cross has washed that all away. Our debt of sin has been completely canceled. No one can accuse us of anything any longer. By grace through faith, we can now stand before God in comfort and peace because we are clothed in the righteousness of Christ. Finally, he is the star of joy. Christmas angel announced to those frightened shepherds, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. Fear not. Stop from being afraid. Christ, your Savior, is born. Fear not. He is Jesus, and he has come to save you from your sins. So rejoice, because in him you are completely forgiven. Rejoice, because in him you now have the fullness of life now and forever. Rejoice, because in him you are eternally saved. All those years ago, the wise men looked up into the heavens and saw that unique star that God had placed there, star that guided them ultimately to Bethlehem, where they found the child and his mother Mary. And they fell down and they worshiped him. Do we have some kind of guiding light today like that star of the wise men? Something that will lead us to Jesus? Indeed we do. And it is God's holy word in the Bible. That's why Jesus tells us, search the scriptures. He says that those words of scriptures testify of him, and they will lead you to eternal life. So as the wise men made daily use of following that star, so we too must make diligent use of the word of God. We've got to read it. We've got to study it. We've got to meditate on it. And yet we even got to commit parts of it to memory. We want to make that word and its teachings an inseparable part of our lives. Because Satan is also out there in our world. And this word tells us that he is waiting for an opportune time to deceive us, to trip us up, to mislead us. Remember the story of the wise men. They apparently took their eyes off of the star when they got near to Jerusalem because They believe that now we've got it all figured out. Where's the king of the Jews? He's got to be in Jerusalem. So they stop looking at the stars. And then in Matthew, we find them wandering around the streets of Jerusalem, asking everybody, where is he? Where is this king of the Jews? We've come to worship him. We just can't find him right now. When we take our eyes off of the star, Satan is right there, always ready to show us another star, another light, another way, another idea. And some of them at first might sound rather promising. But we have to remember that Satan's aim is always to deceive and to ruin us eternally. To see how true that is, all we have to do is take a quick look around the world we live in today and see how successful he is in his work. Tomorrow is the beginning of the Epiphany season, and there really is a double emphasis to this Epiphany. The first emphasis is that we are reminded that we need to be in the Word every day. And not just the Word, we need to be using the means of grace every day, the Word, the sacrament, prayer, Christian fellowship. The second thing the Epiphany teaches us is that it's a dark world out there. And we who have seen the light and the grace and the mercy and the love of God have got to shine that light into the world in which we live. We are to be reflectors of all those gifts of God's grace into this world in which we live. Now, how do we do that? We do it by the way we live. We do it by the way we act. We do it by the way we think and respond. We do it in the way that we speak. When we live Christ in this world, people will see how very different we really are. Some of them are going to want to know what makes us so different. And some of them are going to be drawn to the true light, which is Jesus. And they will find their salvation in him. Tomorrow we begin this Epiphany season. We begin with the prayer that God would use us as bright, shining stars so that we reflect the love and the grace and the mercy of God to those who are still living and walking in darkness, so that they can find the hope, the peace, the comfort, the joy, and the salvation that we have in Christ. May God make each of us that bright, shining Epiphany stars. Amen. We rise. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus until life everlasting. Amen. This morning we make confession of our most holy faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. That's